Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sangai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Very pleased to announce I have some show notes. There are some shows in the next couple of days. So if you're looking for some pro wrestling after a long absence, tonight, IWA Mid-South running in Indianapolis, Indiana. Tomorrow night, Game Changer Wrestling will be in Indianapolis. EWI in Minot, North Dakota. Brew City Wrestling in Waukesha, Wisconsin. And NWF in Paragould, Arkansas tomorrow. And with that, I want to welcome our guest today. Speaking of Indianapolis, one of the better referees you're going to find in the state of Indiana, including the city of Indianapolis, Wayne Silver. Wayne Silver, welcome to the program today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, since it is your first time with us, I'm going to start you out with the first-timer's question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
I grew up around the business. My dad was actually a professional wrestler growing up, so I probably should have got in it, I guess, earlier in my younger days, but because I started out training to actually wrestle, but I was in my 30s when I did that. So, you know, here I am now, a referee.
May we ask, which professional wrestler was your father?
Quicksilver.
Quicksilver, someone I watched countless times when I was going to live shows many, many, many years ago.
Yes, yes, he's been around for a long time.
He definitely has. Now, when you were watching your dad wrestle and he was going all over the state of Indiana for independent companies, did he sort of take you into the behind the scenes? Did he kind of explain wrestling as a business? Or were you a little bit more sheltered from the business than that?
Yeah, honestly, I was a little bit more sheltered from the business. I remember when I was younger, I wanted to get into the business. I wanted to wrestle. But I remember my dad used to always tell me that he didn't want me in the business. So.
Now, you've refereed for several promotions over the state of Indiana in the last few years. One of the ones that I presume you would consider a home base, WCWO in Indianapolis. It's a weekly promotion, so you're there a little more often than other promotions that run biweekly or monthly.
Getting
to work in a weekly promotion, do you think that that's helped you out just because you're able to get more matches in and the repetition of things and being able to learn a little bit quicker from repetition?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely helped me out a lot. That's actually kind of where I got my start. I started training under Don Basher.
Now, you technically would be a second-generation WCWO performer because I saw many a Quicksilver match at WCWO in cities all across Indiana. So did the second-generation thing ever really come up? Did he kind of bring you into the business as a second generation, or were you going to always keep that kind of separate from what you were doing?
Yeah, actually, it kind of did. because like I said, when I first got into the business, I was training to actually wrestle, you know, and I had a few matches, but, you know, I realized that I was getting, I think I just, you know, it was just too old to start the business, I guess, to do that anyways, because I think I wrestled for probably about a year, and it just, a little bit too painful for my age, I guess.
You, like I said, have been to a lot of different promotions all across the state, and that includes a lot of travel, so I know you've made quite a few pretty good drives. What would you say has been the farthest trip that you've made so far?
The farthest was actually outside of the state of Indiana. I actually refereed for a company out of Illinois. I can't think of the name of it right off the bat, though. But that's probably the farthest that I've traveled. But then I've also traveled to Jeffersonville quite a bit, Jeffersonville, Indiana.
Oh, at Jeffersonville, was that at the arena?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Now, the arena has been the home of a number of promotions over the years. There's been several independent groups that have ran there. Probably the most notable, IWA Mid-South, but Chikara has also ran in that arena. What do you think it is about the arena in Jeffersonville that has attracted so many promoters to want to run there?
It's got to probably be the fans. I mean, any time that I've ever been out there, the fans have been into it. They love wrestling, and just a great place to have some shows at.
One of the things in the wrestling business that's been a little controversial in the last few years is bloodshed in wrestling. With what we know from medical science in the last few years, we've learned about some of the bloodborne pathogens and how they're transmitted and so forth, which has had people on both sides of the spectrum as far as if blood should be allowed in wrestling and this modern era or not. Where do you personally stand on the issue of having blood on wrestling shows?
I don't have a problem with the blood. I think that the fans definitely like to see that side of wrestling, just because, you know, wrestling is a contact sport, you know, and I mean, I think people just like to see it.
I'm sure in your career you've seen a little bit of blood on occasion. What would you say?
Oh yeah, lots of it.
I'm sure you have. I know some of the people you've officiated for. What would you say has been the bloodiest match?
I would have to say Levi Everett versus Dale Patricks. That was a pretty gory match. It was at WCWO. I believe it was a death match.
Now, no surprise at all that Dale Patricks would be in a hardcore match with a lot of blood in it. Levi Everett, not someone I would immediately think of as being a hardcore wrestler or someone you're going to see a lot of blood from. Was it a little bit shocking seeing this nice young Amish kid bleeding in a hardcore match?
Yeah, definitely. He definitely, I believe that was his, I know it was his first hardcore match, and I believe that it was his last, too, because, you know, I had talked to him a few times, and, you know, he said it was fun, but, you know, just kind of really wasn't for him with the whole hardcore thing, so.
I can definitely see that for sure. Now, speaking of the hardcore, a referee most often checks for any type of contraband weapon that will be smuggled in by a wrestler during a standard match. On occasion, you'll find any number of items in someone's trunks or their boots or their elbow pads. What's been the strangest foreign object you found on a guy?
I think it's not really strange. I mean, it's not uncommon. A chain, usually. I know Too Cruel TJ, TJ Kemp, man, that guy, he's always trying to smuggle some chains past me. But if I catch him, I catch him. You know, I've caught him a few times.
Now, TJ is one of several people that have seen multiple generations come into the wrestling business. There's a lot in the state of Indiana besides yourself. The whole Don Basher family, JKO, and the grandson Jonathan, Sean and his father TJ. There's several more, Bobo Brazil Jr., Dick the Bruiser Jr. What do you think it is about the state of Indiana where we've seen a lot of multiple generation wrestling families compared to a lot of other areas?
I don't know. I mean, I think that Indiana is definitely kind of the heart of independent wrestling. I know this is where a lot of guys from, I know when I was at WCWO, a lot of guys from Iowa would travel here just to, you know, work shows here. Obviously, my dad, Quicksilver, he was trained by the original Dick the Bruiser, so... You know, I mean, Indiana's just kind of the birthplace of professional wrestling.
I can definitely see that. Now, as a referee, one of the things you're going to run into is wrestlers will oftentimes try to intimidate you. They're going to try to bully you a little bit, try to scare you. So maybe you lean towards them and your officiating, giving them the advantage. I know you've come across a lot of big, intimidating guys. Who'd you say has been the guy that has most tried to intimidate you in the ring?
That would definitely have to be Justin Kyle. That guy, he's pretty scary, you know. And I mean, I still try to hold my own, you know, try to be the officiator, but. Yeah, you know, he definitely tries to scare me anytime that I'm in the ring with him.
Now, we know that in wrestling sometimes action can spill out of control and the referee will be in the path of that and inadvertently or otherwise get knocked out by the competitors. I know that it's happened to you on occasion. Sorry about that. But has there ever been any serious injury on your part from being in the way of wrestlers that were a little bit out of control?
Never really like serious injuries. I have definitely been hurt. You know, I've had been standing in the corner and have had a wrestler toss another wrestler right into me and, you know, kind of messed up my back a little bit, I guess, you know, but nothing like, you know, life-changing, you know, seriousness yet. Knock on wood.
Let's hope it stays that way.
Yes.
Now, one of the things that anyone in wrestling needs to do in order to be successful at all is to be in proper shape, especially when you're officiating matches. Sometimes you're out there the entire show a lot of times. Sometimes you have to do an hour and a half to 2 hours. So definitely you have to be in proper shape in order to last that long. Do you have any particular type of diet or conditioning program that you maintain to be able to stay in shape enough to officiate?
Yeah, I guess I don't really do too awful much to stay, you know, in shape perhaps, you know. I mean, I know my regular job that I do in my life, you know, it keeps me in shape, you know. And I definitely do some running around. I know I've refereed quite a few different shows where I was the only referee that showed up, and I was the only referee out there all night long. So, was pretty glad that the promoter of the show gave me a couple little breaks in between there, you know.
Now, one match I can think of in particular that you officiated, it happened to be a tag team match, and it was at Hoosier Pro Wrestling, myself and my partner Maurice Atlas against Fireball and Shauna Reed. You may have counted me down a little bit quick in that match, a little quick on the draw there on the three count when Shauna had me pinned for what I estimate to be a quarter of a count, and somehow you snuck three in there on me. Have you lost much sleep wondering if maybe you were a little too quick on that particular count?
Well, you know, when I do my counts, you know, I try to stay fair on both sides, you know. I'm not going to lie, there are some times when, you know, I just get so frustrated in the match with the wrestlers because things are starting to get a little out of control. So, yeah, I might count a little bit too quickly just to, you know, let's just get this over with.
I believe my shoulder was up. I had the bottom rope with my hand and my foot, and I pulled myself halfway out of the ring. You may have missed that part.
Yeah, I don't remember that part at all.
Vivid for the hundreds of people that were watching me. Now,
yeah,
also,
I mean, I didn't see it.
We're going to get you an optometrist visit and see if we can help you out with that. Now, that same match, I was assaulted by one Stompin' Steve. He came out and viciously choked Slammy. He sometimes does that. Jerry Wilson even assaulted me, which, you know, you would expect, but still, you could have done a little something to maybe try to stop him.
I mean, like I said, I was probably pretty frustrated with the match in general, and I apologize to you for that, sign guy, but, you know, there's just some times when just at some point when I just kind of have to leave it up to the promoter, and I'm sorry that the promoter did that to you, but...
Well, I'll forgive you this time, but, you know, keep in mind the next time I'm there, that sneaky Jerry Wilson tries to do something, you stop him.
All right, I'll keep an eye on him.
All right. He'll be the loud guy drowning cores at ringside. Keep your eye on him. Now, speaking of that tag match, which I believe Dave Meltzer gave 83 1/4 stars to, and Brian Alvarez wept at its magnificence, you've been in a lot of tag matches and have seen a lot of really, really good tag teams out there. Who would you say are some of the better tag teams on the scene right now?
I definitely... one of my, I mean, really, there's just so many of them. I guess I don't really have a favorite because, like, they're all great. A lot of young, talented people that really enjoy the business, really enjoy, you know, to making the fans happy, and, you know, there's just so many different tag teams out there. I think I'm going to have to say them all.
Fair enough. Good answer for all the tag teams you come across in locker rooms coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another thing that helps wrestlers stand out is their wrestling gear. Of course, on the independent level, you're going to see quality like really high and really low. It's just kind of the nature of the business. But from shows you've been on with people, who would you say has some of the best wrestling gear right now?
I don't know. I guess to be honest with you, when I'm on shows, I guess I don't really, you know, pay too much attention to the gear in general. You know, I'm more trying to focus on my matches and, you know, focus on being fair in the match.
Fair enough. Well, we have a game on the show we like to play. We call it Word Association, where I'll throw out the names of some people that you have come across in your career, and the first word or two that pops to mind is the answer. Are you prepared to play some Word Association?
Yeah, sure, I'll try it.
All right, here we go. First word, Joey Kid Owens.
Awesome guy.
Kenneth James.
Nice guy.
Lightning Bolt Johnson.
Very talented.
Cousin Cooter.
Chicken.
Shauna Reed.
Talented.
Ring announcer Ed Boston.
Amazing personality.
TJ Kemp.
Great guy.
Pogo.
Mean.
Buck Sexton.
Cheater.
Errol Rose.
Yeah, I don't like that guy.
The last one, Jason Levi.
Superior.
All right. Now, one of the things that happened not too long before things got shut down due to the pandemic was there was a new title introduced to WCWO. It was the Intergender Championship. You officiated the first ever match for that title. What do you think of intergender wrestling just in general, and what did you think of the championship being introduced?
I don't mind the intergender. It's definitely new school, you know. That I mean, it's and as for the intergender title, especially being introduced at WCWO, I think that it was great. I think that it was definitely given to the right person. Well, she earned it.
She definitely had to fight for it. That was a pretty hard-hitting match she had with Too Sexy Marshall.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, at this time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know QT has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things to him for a bit.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Wayne.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, not bad. My first question is, how's the weather out there in Indiana?
Oh, it's beautiful today.
Oh, okay. Sangai and myself are weather aficionados. Yes.
Okay.
I just wondered how the weather was when now that wrestling is starting back up after a long hiatus. Yes.
The weather is great. I haven't personally got to go into any shows tonight or since it's, you know, been able to start back up. I'm actually planning on here in a little bit, possibly swinging into IWA for here in just a little bit.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Wayne, I saw your YouTube video entitled Upstart Pro Wrestling Title Match, and it was posted around the first of the year for the video.
Mm-hmm.
The first wrestler to come out looked like WWE superstar Edge, and he was wearing a jersey that had the number 44 on it. My question is, do you remember the NBA player who wore number 44 on his Los Angeles Lakers jersey? He was from the University of West Virginia, and the NBA logo is patterned after him. Plus, he scored 25,000 points as a guard, and he often passed to Wilt Chamberlain. Do you remember this Los Angeles Laker?
I sure don't. Never really been a big basketball fan per se. You know, I when I was younger, I used to watch the Indiana Pacers a lot, but that was I don't know. Just kind of wasn't my thing. I guess I just, you know, couldn't keep myself interested in it, watching it on TV anyways. I liked going to live events, you know, but was few and far between for me on those.
Oh, okay. The player I'm talking about is Jerry West, Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Jerry West. And I'm wondering who that wrestler was with the long hair and the slim build, and he looked like Edge, and he wore 44. Can you tell us the first person in the ring?
You know, I'm going to have to possibly, if you can give me just a second, I'll actually pull it up and see who you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Yes, he looked like he was about 6'3.5" to 6'4", and he looked like he only weighed about 200, and I'm going to say 5 pounds.
Yeah, because I can't think of who that could have been. You said it was the one that was Upstart Pro Wrestling title match?
Yes. He was the first one in the ring.
Sorry, real quick. I'm actually kind of looking at it.
Oh, okay, no problem. Video analysis is very important on the Turnbuckle Turmoil show.
Yeah, for sure, because that's kind of got me curious now. Because if I remember right, it was a couple people that I had never had the opportunity to work with, and I think that's why I didn't put their – or it was the first time that I'd ever worked with them, so that's why I don't think I put their name on the video.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Maybe you'd like to home all we
wait. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't even know that guy's name. But I do see who you're talking about. He does kind of look like Edge in a way too. I just didn't catch his name. And I probably did, but just I just don't remember what it was.
Well, when you referee so many matches, you're bound to come across wrestlers who you forget the name of. The faces kind of blur through the years or months.
Yeah. Especially because I've refereed so many matches, you know, and there's lots of people that I've came in contact with once and never again. And there's guys that I come in contact with, you know, more than once. And it definitely is something that, you know, it does definitely happen.
All right. For next few questions, we're just going to name him Edge. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, Wayne, when you held up the title belt for the match to begin, there was no applause from the fans. In your opinion, were they suffering from a New Year's Eve party hangover? Because it was
that is. Yeah, that is definitely a possibility. I know that particular show, the numbers were down kind of low anyways in the crowd, but yeah, I don't know. They must have just had hangovers.
Yes. The enthusiasm wasn't there. I guess the coffee,
no, not at all.
Had not kicked in yet.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another question. Do you have a pre-match beverage that you partake of, like coffee, to get you pumped up for the referee, for your referee duties? Do you partake of coffee or tea?
Nope. My drink of choice right before my matches and probably throughout the show is Diet Mountain Dew. I know it's probably not the greatest, but, you know, it keeps me motivated.
Oh, okay. Well, Diet Mountain Dew is better than Mountain Dew.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. Well, Wayne, at around the 4-minute mark of the match, the wrestler who looked like Edge had built like Edge gave the other wrestler a sidewalk slam. And when he did, the mat gave way several inches. You yourself were almost lifted off your feet. Was this one of the softer rings you were ever in?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it was a pretty soft ring from what I can remember. You know, I mean, I know definitely I've learned from the years of experience of refereeing anyhow, you know, when I see a big slam coming like that anyways, I'm probably going to jump a little bit just because, you know, I don't want to be standing there and just the pressure of the hit take my knees out from underneath me. So I'm definitely going to jump so that's, you know, the gravity doesn't take me with it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Wayne, as a kid, did you volunteer to set up rings yourself?
I'm sorry?
As a kid, did you volunteer to set up rings yourself, or as a teenager?
Well, actually, I did set up a lot of rings over the years with my dad when he used to run his own shows in Indianapolis, and a lot of the times I really wasn't given a choice about it, but, you know, I think that it made me learn, you know, I learned a lot from my dad and growing up around the business and definitely the setups and teardowns of rings. And
okay. All right. Very good. All right. Well, Wayne, what are some of the harder mats that you have refereed on? Some of the harder mats that gave you pause and maybe put in the thought in your head that this mat is so hard that some of these wrestlers may get hurt.
Yeah, I got one right off the bat. It'd be HPW, their ring. Every time that when I slide down to make them counts, my hand is stinging after the show for probably about 2 days after.
Oh, well, now speaking of that ring, HPW, have you seen the legendary video of the Quattro Thumbtack match between a mysterious wrestler named Budget Deficit as he arm wrestled Dave the Beast Barnett? Have you seen this video?
No, sir, I have not.
Oh, okay.
Was that ring a part of it?
Oh, well, the ring was, it felt kind of hard from what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from Budget Deficit, you know, it was a arm wrestling match that took place in HBW.
Okay.
All right. Well, Wayne, when the second wrestler came out, he was wearing what looked like army camouflaged bottoms, black wrestling shoes, and a red tank top, and a Stone Cold Steve Austin type haircut, and a black support stocking or arm support on his right arm. Immediately, he took the action to Ed, the Edge type, and backed him into the corner, and knife edge chopped him and knee lifted him. Do you recall who this wrestler was that kind of looked like Stone Cold?
I sure do not. The only wrestler that I remember in that match that I work with on a weekly basis, or I did before the whole pandemic, was Max Sterling. But I don't the other guys that were in that match, I don't recall.
All right. Okay. Fair enough. Well, Wayne, at the 7:46 mark, the wrestler that looked like Stone Cold and had a bald head ran across the ring and gave the Edge wrestler a stinger splash. Were you yourself a big fan of Sting growing up?
Oh, yeah. I loved Sting. Sting was one of my favorites.
Okay. All right. Well, at the 7:35 mark, after he had made 5 steps, he tried another stinger splash, but failed when he got a boot to the jaw by wrestler Edge. My question is, when was the last time you saw 2 stinger splashes in a row that were successful? Can you recall?
No. Not in a really long time, not since probably back when Sting was wrestling.
Okay. All right. Well, Wayne, at the 7:47 mark, the Edge wrestler bounced off the rope and with a textbook scissor kick with one leg going up and then down, and the other leg going up and then down in synchronicity, his leg came down on his neck, and he put the Stone Cold Steve Austin down with a scissor kick for the 1-2-3 count. My question is, in the 1910s and 1920s, the scissor kick was the only style of high jump being used in Olympic competition and competition itself. Question is, were you a high jumper in high school? That's what I'm getting at.
I used to think that I could jump high, but I was always a pretty short kid in school, growing up and stuff like that. So, I think there was always somebody that could jump higher than me.
Oh, okay. All right. And speaking of video analysis, I kind of visualized or analyzed your height, and I predict that in this video you were 5'8 3/4". 5'8 3/4". Am I pretty close?
Oh yeah, you're right on the money.
Aha! I'm very pleased. Okay. All right. Well, Wayne, at the 8 minute and 35 second mark, another wrestler came out, and his tights, which looked very good, by the way, in black and he had black and gold tights, and he had a ponytail. The crowd finally awoke and broke into rhythmic clapping. Do you remember who this wrestler was that finally woke up the crowd?
Yes, sir. That was Max Sterling.
Oh, okay, Max Sterling. I knew that I saw the word Mac on his tights, but I didn't quite make Sterling. Okay. In fact, you know, you could kind of combine Sterling and Silver. You can name Sterling Silver.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh,
I was just going to say,
I'll be quiet.
No, that's all right. I think there's a little bit of a delay going on. But I was just going to say that, you know, if I would have pursued the career of wrestling instead of refereeing, then definitely me and Max Sterling could have been a tag team.
Yes, of Sterling Silver. That would have been awesome. Okay. All right. Well, when Mr. Sterling was, he had some dance steps that he was showing his fans. And the Edge wrestler looked like he was also dancing in the ring. It almost looked like the two wrestlers were having a dance off. My question is, have you had any wrestler, female or male, challenge you to an in-ring dance-off?
I do believe, I do recall a time when Guy Lombardo tried to challenge me to a little dance-off while I was refereeing, and I politely declined his invitation.
Oh, okay. All right. Have you ever been to a match where some guy himself challenged another wrestler to a dance-off?
Where some guy has?
Yeah.
I don't know. Not that I can recall.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Wayne, at the 11 minute and 35 second mark, the wrestler known in this interview, the wrestler known as Edge, went 3-0, and he had a MMA submission hold successful. My question is, are you yourself schooled in jiu-jitsu or MMA?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, Wayne, were you a big fan of Chris Masters and the Master Lock Challenge?
Nope. I don't think so. I don't think that I really remember too much about it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, the Master Lock Challenge, Chris Masters would call wrestlers down to the ring and get them in full Nelson and see if they could break the Master Lock.
Okay.
Yes. That was one of my more favorite moments in wrestling history. One of the segments that I thoroughly enjoyed. Bobby Lashley, I think, finally broke it. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Bobby Lashley's right. a pretty big guy.
Have you ever met Bobby Lashley?
No. I would definitely like to someday. Would love to have the opportunity to referee one of his matches.
Okay. All right. Well, Wayne, many wrestling shows, especially around the holidays, are held as fundraising events for different charities. Have you yourself been to a wrestling match where part of the gate they give to Autism Speaks, or are you yourself involved in Autism Speaks?
No, to be honest with you, I don't think that I've been to a lot of fundraising shows before where the proceeds were, you know, given, you know, especially around Christmas time where they you know, donate to kids and stuff like that that need it, or families, you know, for Christmas presents and stuff like that. Never been a part of the Autism Speaks. Not saying that I wouldn't, because I actually have a 15-year-old son that's been diagnosed as mildly autistic. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Wayne, Quicksilver Messenger Service, or sometimes known as simply as Quicksilver, was an American psychedelic rock band formed in 1965. In San Francisco. The band achieved wide popularity in the Bay Area with their eclectic fusion of jazz and folk music. They often played gigs with the Jefferson Airplane and the Grateful Dead. Their song Fresh Air reached number 49 in 1970. Are you familiar with this band Quicksilver? And did your dad ever come out to their music? That's what I'm basically getting at.
No, I never, I guess, even realized that there was a band called Quicksilver. And my dad, his music that he usually came out to was I'm Too Sexy. So.
Oh, okay. I'm Too Sexy for My Shirt, yes.
Yeah. He had a big ego back then.
I think that that was by a one person, I think, Right Said Fred.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Boy, that Quicksilver Messenger Service, who often, let me see, they were at the Human Bee in San Francisco in 1967. They are at the opposite end of the spectrum from Right Side Fred. That's for sure.
Yeah, yes. Definitely.
Oh, okay. Well, Wayne, at this point, I'm going to give it back over to Sign Guy. You may want, as a homework assignment, to look up the Master Lock Challenge with Chris Masters. Especially,
I definitely will.
Especially when he challenged Val Venus to get out of the Master Lock Challenge.
Okay.
Oh,
I definitely
okay.
will as soon as I get off this podcast with you guys. I'm going to look that up.
Oh, very nice. Okay, back to you, Sunday.
Thank you, QT. Well, Wayne, in the state of Idaho, there is a promotion called Wrestle Club, and one of the referees for Wrestle Club is a gentleman by the name of Todd Silver. We've been asked by a fan, is Todd Silver the referee of Wrestle Club? Any relation at all to you?
No, I don't believe so. Not unless he might be a long lost cousin of mine. I don't know.
Well, if he is a long-lost cousin, maybe that'll get you in at Wrestle Club if you're ever in Idaho.
Yeah, for sure.
Or you could ask their senior official, which just happens to be me.
Oh, is it now?
It actually is, yeah. They've stated so on statewide television, so it has to be true.
Okay. Well, me and you might have to talk about that at another time.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of television, a lot of promotions have gone to streaming their shows, whether it's streamed live or if it's recorded and streamed after the fact. You got a lot of different streaming platforms that sees a lot of different companies using the various ones. What do you think of streaming wrestling shows, whether it's live or taped, as far as relating to the business end of wrestling?
Well, I think it's great. I think it's a great thing to do. I think that it definitely gives people, you know, because you got the, you know, bigger organizations that are on actual TV, but then, you know, you got, I don't know. I'm kind of mixed emotions because I have sure, like the other organizations on TV are great, but I've been to some independent shows that are, you know, have been a lot better than any shows that I've ever seen on TV. So, you know, and it gives fans the opportunity to be able to, you know, even if they don't live in that state or whatever, they can go on to the social media or you know, the streaming platforms and check out these different independent shows as well.
Now, as far as traveling to other areas, have you been looking at all into going into new places once shows resume a somewhat more normal schedule? Are you looking to go like a different area of the country maybe, or maybe to like Canada or something like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm always got my options open for that. I guess, you know, the past few years I've been more focusing on trying to get my name out there a little bit more, trying to get people to these other wrestling promotions and stuff to notice me and maybe want to call me up and bring me in and try me out, you know?
Now, looking at international things, wrestling on the independent level has really opened up across the world. You see independent promotions popping up in places like Vietnam and Singapore, Qatar, Israel. There's independent promotions all over the place. Have you ever thought of doing any international touring?
Not necessarily thought about it. I don't guess. I would definitely do it if I ever had the opportunity. I would travel to another country to referee.
Now, do you ever try to sit down and kind of keep tabs on some of the international wrestling just in case the opportunity arises, you'd be prepared as far as what to expect a little bit?
The only international wrestling that I don't necessarily keep tabs on them. I probably should, but New Japan. I do like New Japan. But other than that, that's probably the only one that I've really actually watched.
All right. Now, QT brought up the Sterling Silver potential tag team. And that, of course, is a good one. But as far as a partnership with another referee, I know on most shows they try to have 2 to 3 referees. Do you have a referee that you feel like most complements your skill set and what you believe in wrestling that kind of makes them the best fit for you as a referee?
I tell you, and you know, sometimes me and him don't see eye to eye on things, you know. But at you know, shows that I'm on, if he's on the shows too, he's the senior official. So I do respect him a lot. But that's Toby Lee, great guy. He definitely he's taught me a lot as well since I've been refereeing and stuff. And I do feel like he. You know, in his own way, he compliments me.
Did you know that Toby Lee cannot speak Carney?
No, I did not know that.
I found out the hard way. Now, going back to when your dad was still active in wrestling, wrestling training was a lot different. The business was harder to break into at that point. It was more closed off to outsiders joining it. We still spoke in Kearney for the most part around other people, just what the tradition dictated. With things being more open these days, and it's far more easy to get into the wrestling business in 2020 than it was say, in 1995 or before, do you think that it has made wrestling better, or do you think it's made it worse, that it's more open now?
Well, I wouldn't never say that it's that anything's made professional wrestling worse. I would say that there are some guys that I have been in the ring with that probably, in my opinion, should probably not have ever stepped foot in a ring. But you know, but who am I to, you know? I mean, everybody's got a dream, you know, and if that's somebody's dream, you know, to want to be a professional wrestler, even if they are, you know, not so great, then, I mean, you know, I'm not gonna put a man down for it, you know.
Well, we've got just a few minutes left on the show today, and I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything and everything you want, any upcoming appearances, social medias, merchandise, your favorite laundromat, anything in the world, floor is yours.
Definitely, if anybody hasn't checked out my YouTube channel, I know I've been kind of slacking a little bit on putting some new videos on there, but I'm definitely waiting for this for the wrestling to start back up, and I will start putting some more videos on there. But the YouTube channel is Wayne Silver Wrestling. Definitely like and subscribe to my channel, and hopefully that I can put some really good matches on there in the remainder of this year and next year and however many years that I keep doing this.
Well, Wayne Silver, it was a pleasure having you on the show today. I'm sure our paths will cross at some point in the next few months, so I look forward to that and for you to keep an eye out on that Jerry Wilson for me.
All right, definitely. I believe that he's got a show coming up in I think it's August or September. So I don't know if you'll be on that show, but it'd be nice to see you, sign guy.
You never know when I'm going to pop up there.
All right.
All right, but Wayne Silver, thank you for being on today. Fans, definitely, if you're going to look on YouTube for some wrestling, he has a lot of great wrestling on his YouTube channel. Look up Wayne Silver Wrestling to find all of that. If you're near a show where he's going to be performing, go check him out. He's very good at what he does. Multi-generation family, so you know doing it right out there. We will be back with you Sunday afternoon. We have Frogman LeBlanc on the show. So join us then. Stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you soon.
The car will be the passenger.